Scott, are you there?
Yeah, man. Gotcha.
All right. We'll keep it clean. We'll keep it fresh. I'm going to do an introduction. I think, you know, some of the points is going to be something about focus. That was what you were good at. And we'll roll from there.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. All right. It's time to get your game right. Get your head right. Get out of things that don't work and get things that are right. We got today on the show is Scott Sizemore. This guy has played baseball at every level imaginable. He's one of those guys who just got it done wherever he went. Over 2 years of service time in the big leagues. Not a big guy. He's one of those guys who always overachieved in everything he did. Similar to all of you out there, he wanted to get better all the time. He also just wants you guys to know, this is what kids need to know now. This is what people need to know now, dads, coaches, you name it. So, Scotty, it's great to have you. Just give us a little rundown about yourself in 15 seconds.
Cool, 15 seconds. Well, thanks for having me on. So real quick, went to VCU, got drafted by the Tigers. Like you said, played about 11 seasons in pro ball. I definitely consider myself a grinder, not someone that was born with five-tool talent, but someone that worked extremely hard to, hone my craft, get better at what I, excelled at, and it got me to the big leagues.
Yeah, no doubt. So one thing, and me and Scott played together a little bit in the Tigers organization. One thing I admired about your game, it was consistent, it was constant. And you were the guy who was focused every day.
Absolutely. That's kind of the test at that level. Everyone has, talent when they get to college, but, you're never playing every day like you do in professional baseball. So, like you said, if you're not consistent, if you're not ready to play every single day, you can get buried pretty fast. So I think that's one very, very crucial element. Whether you're playing games every day or just practicing every day, you got to approach it with the game mentality. Like you're going to compete against the best in the world. Cause if you fall a little short, you'll still be playing pretty well.
Yeah. So zero, you can go from zero to hero in a hurry, right? And you can also go from hero to zero in a hurry in a lot of people's eyes.
Absolutely.
Thing that you always did your whole career, because I saw it, and me and you had very similar careers as far as not the most talented guy on the field, but always were producing, always finding ways to make ourselves better.
Yeah,
we both were the guy at times, and we were both not the guy at times. How did you get through that? Because that's not an easy task to go from hero to zero, right? Or to go from zero to hero. Like how does somebody handle those situations where baseball is the toughest sport from what have you done for me lately? So yep. how did you go about handling those situations?
Man, I could get pretty in depth into that one. I guess
we can make it a two part show.
Right. I was gonna say the thing that sticks out of my mind, and this is something that maybe a lot of guys might not admit or maybe they don't even realize, but when I first got called up to the big leagues, it was an eye-opening experience to, one, how good everybody was, because you think you're ready for it when you're in AAA and you've seen some pretty good talent, but the level of focus and, like I said, the way guys came prepared to play every single day was on a whole nother level. So it was hard for me to almost admit and to accept how hard it was going to be to stick in the big leagues, because, in your head you have this dream and this idea of once you get there, you're just going to have a 15-year career, make millions and millions of dollars, and it's just going to be handed to you. Well, in reality, that was just, you're knocking on the door when you do get called up, and you got to do a heck of a lot to prove yourself and maintain that opportunity to play up there. So for me, that was kind of a gut check when I got sent down for the first time, to really, look down deep and see or believe if I could get back up there and produce. And it took a few weeks down in AAA to kind of get back in the swing of things. But like you said, just kept grinding every day, coming ready to work and get better. And sure enough, my game started to kind of elevate. And next time I got called up, I performed a little better. And it kind of kept going that way until, unfortunately, my body just couldn't hold up anymore.
Yeah, I hear you on that note. But it's inevitable, you know, guys figure out things at different times.
Absolutely.
It's kind of that trial and error, the process that we all have to go through. What we're trying to do here, obviously, is shorten that period for guys. So the hurdles that me and you both faced, somebody out there might be facing, or somebody knows somebody that might be facing. This whole program's designed to help them understand, hey, when you get to the big leagues, and that's point oh, but it's for the kid who gets to varsity ball. That's right. His goal, right? Like he's trying to get on the JV team, then he gets to the varsity squad, and then it's like, this is really hard. Well, yeah. The whole reason it's a goal is because it's going to be hard when you get there. And you have to keep doing the same things. Keep the grind on, keep your focus right, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, this is me, and I think this is probably, you know, this is definitely relevant to elite players, and I think you'll probably agree as well, where, you know, baseball is fun, but it's not all that fun if you're not doing well and your team's not doing well. So it's like, you know, how do you and when do you kind of turn the page or flip the script, and at what age do you say, okay, I love playing baseball, but is it worth the hard work and all the heartache that comes with the failure of the game to continue to try to work and get better? And hey, maybe I play JV or varsity baseball eventually. But yeah. I guess that's going to be every player's decision, that I guess, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is the JV or varsity team worth the effort and time it's going to take to get there? Well, it better be, because I guarantee you there's 40 other guys in your school that want to work their ass off, pardon my French, to get on that team. And that's what it takes. You know, if you want to play elite level baseball, you got to train your body and mind with an elite mentality. So, it's tough, man. The higher you go, the harder it gets. I don't want to say the less fun it becomes, but the more it becomes about what have you done for me lately? Because again, there's a million guys that want your spot if you're on one of those teams. So you got to keep doing what it takes to, you know, to keep separating yourself as a player.
Yeah, no doubt. And what I always attached myself to was, and it's just the way my brain's rigged, I think, to a point, is I love a good challenge. Like, the more challenging it is, the more I want to be a part of it, and the harder I want to work to get to a good challenge. Not everybody's motivated the same.
Right.
If your motivation in baseball is strictly making $1 million, you're way off course.
Mm-hmm.
You're way off course. Like, there's not enough money on planet Earth to get you through some of the things that you might have to go through at times. What I always focused on was the privilege of the challenge. I'm lucky enough. I am lucky enough to be able to go out and have the challenge of getting two hits today. Not everybody has that, right? Like most guys, they're going to go home. Their biggest challenge of the day is, let's go. We got to pour a concrete foundation around the house. We have to a multitude of things, right? The accountant's going to be pushing his pencil, and we need all that. That's right. Very important. How lucky was I that my challenge is, how do I go get two hits today?
Yep.
And it's really hard when you're in the moment to think about it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can kind of echo on that, man, because, you know, I know you're a family man now, and I've been a family man for a little while now. It becomes tough to kind of get your mind off that almighty dollar. But I'll tell you what, man, my baseball performance, my on-field performance got a heck of a lot better when I stopped worrying about the future and, you know, money and X, Y, and Z, and only focused on being the best baseball player I could be. Like you said, go out there, have 3 or 4 great at-bats. You might get some hits, you might not, but at least you're focused, your mind's in the right place, and in the long run, if you can do that day in and day out, you're going to be a pretty good ball player, whether you're talking JV, high school, whatever. You absolutely have to just think about trying to be the best version of yourself that you can on the baseball field. Don't let scholarship offers or getting called up to varsity or maybe getting drafted take your mind off of what matters most. And like, to me, I tell all my hitters, I'm still coaching and doing lessons and stuff, you know, the most important part of your body outside of your brain, it's your eyeballs, man. You got to be able to see the baseball. If you're not thinking about seeing the baseball, you're already behind the eight ball. You know, you've already taken your mind off of what matters most. Your dad's been telling you since you were 2, 3 years old, hey, son, see the ball, hit the ball. See the ball, catch the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. And our brain processes it all through the eyes. So that's one thing I'll always teach my guys.
Yeah, that's so good, man, because it's tough for people to understand, especially when you're younger in the game. Your coaches are there to help you develop your skills. They're going to be there to help you develop, you know, the rules of the game, the skills of the game, some different things you need to know. At the end of the day, though, I always talk about the independent ball player. And that's something we play up big here. And it's basically, how do you become a baseball player who's only dependent on yourself as far as making adjustments, being able to do the right things? Because me and you both know, you went through it all. Every level you go through, you're not always going to have a great coach. It's just, it's impossible. And there's so many great coaches out there, and I'll never knock coaches. Everybody knows that. But, or maybe the coach just doesn't know how to relate to you. He could be the smartest dude in the room. He just doesn't know how to relate it to you personally, because we all learn different.
Yep. Absolutely. It's a great point. What was I going to say? Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, the one thing, again, if you're talking about advice to middle school, high school, heck, even younger kids, and I'm sure there's some extenuating circumstances, but to me, I never struggled on the baseball field and ever felt like I was going to place blame on a coach. You know, you've always got to be willing to bite the bullet and be accountable for what you are doing on the field. It's one thing if the coach makes a bad matchup decision with the bullpen or, you know, whatever it may be. But as far as my personal performance, I never once in my entire life blamed a hitting coach for my poor performance at the plate, you know, or the infield coach for booting a ball. You know, all those guys are trying to do, they're just trying to help you. You know, you, as a player, as an independent player, you've got to take that burden on yourself and just realize, okay, this is my time now. You know, they've given me the tools. I've got to be able to pull them out of the toolbox and use them properly. And if you are one of those kids that tends, or parents for that matter, that tends to blame the hitting coach or the manager or whatever, you probably got the wrong mindset. You know, you've got to be willing to, like I said, you know, chew on some failure every once in a while and learn from it and grow from it, because you're going to have a heck of a lot more failure before you're done playing this game. So might as well get used to it.
That's amazing, because accountability is the key, right? Learning to be accountable for what you're doing. I get so many phone calls and so many emails and things that, well, it's not my kid's fault, or, you know, as the kid, my coach just isn't playing me. Like we always said, in the minor league locker rooms and stuff, guys would always complain that so-and-so's in the big leagues, this and that. Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you got two options. You can play better or you can quit.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, they're business systems. The major leagues is a system of business. They want the most entertaining, the best players on the field to try to win the most games, to put the most butts in the seats, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
yep.
If you play better, that's your outcome. Now, on a different level, on a smaller, not even a smaller level, but like on the scale of, say, you're on the local travel team, your coach is not the one dictating your future. If you think that your coach is dictating your future by not playing you enough, you're, like you said, your mindset is completely wrong. You need to reverse your mindset and say, no matter what my coach does, I'm going to come out here and get better every day and learn something. You can learn stuff from the bench. I went from, you know, playing every day to sitting on the bench in the big leagues at times, sitting on the bench in different organizations. When I got drafted, even in low A, I went to junior college and I was splitting time in right field, you know, like,
right.
I know that route, and you can do one of two things with it. You can either complain that you should be the guy, which, if you're not the guy, I promise you, you've never proved to anybody that you should be the guy.
Yep.
So the first thing you got to get out of your head is you're the guy. You got to earn that. There's stripes that get that got to be earned in this game.
Yep. Absolutely, man.
Same way you earned them. You went from a Division I school, from a high school. How did your high school to college transition work?
You know, I was. I was a good high school player, like a lot of guys.
We know a lot of
You know,
good
all
high school
different,
players.
all yeah, exactly, all region, first team, all state, yada yada. But I was a small guy. Like I wasn't a draft pick, really. I was my senior of high school. I was probably 5'10", 155, something like that, maybe 160.
Yeah.
So I got, I got recruited by a lot of the mid majors on the East Coast. You know, nothing like UVA or UNC, Clemson, any of those schools. You know, I got some, I guess, like generic letters. You know, the ones that they send out to all the guys around the East Coast that might be noteworthy, but nothing that was real personalized. So my option was kind of those mid majors. And like I said, I went to Virginia Commonwealth University, who at the time when I was there, we were a very, very strong mid major. Probably not quite in the same caliber as Wichita State, but kind of the similar idea of the baseball program kind of being the most successful program on campus.
Definitely.
And of course, both of our program, both of those schools have kind of done the same thing where their basketball teams have taken on a whole new
Isn't
level of national exposure.
that funny?
But anyways, so for me, man, when I went into college, I had no aspirations of playing professional baseball. I just wanted to, get a scholarship, help my parents out for my college education, play the game for as long as I could. But, year by year, like you said, I kind of earned my stripes. I was, freshman all conference and first team all conference and all American. And next thing you know, I'm sitting down at lunch with some baseball advisors in the Cape Cod League, and they're telling me I might get drafted in the top 3 rounds. And I was like, what? This is crazy. Like, I had no idea that I had a chance to do this. But I think that also speaks volumes to what we discussed earlier, like not putting the cart in front of the horse. You know, if I was worried about getting to the big leagues or what, or getting drafted, I don't think I would have performed as well.
Never.
I thought about just being a good baseball player, having fun doing it, just being the best I possibly could. And when it all panned out, I guess I turned out to be okay. And again, I can speak from firsthand experience where when that stuff did kind of start to creep into my mind, the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, hey man, you could make $1 million if you have a good year this year, your junior year. Well, that whole draftitis thing and putting that extra pressure on yourself, it definitely affected my mindset and the way I approached my games and my season and all that stuff. And ultimately, what wasn't helpful, it's not like I wasn't focused, but the more you play the game, the more pressure you put on yourself, the more you'll kind of realize it doesn't really help. The guys, again, talking to big league guys that have had a very successful career up there and who have a lot of zeros in their bank account, those guys tend to play the game a little more carefree. You know, they're not worried about where their next meal is coming from, obviously, and they can just go out, have a great time, hustle their butt off, and compete against the best in the world and just go out there and simply try to win. And I think that's whether you're in the big leagues or in your travel ball team, don't worry about the ring at the end of the tournament. Worry about your at bat coming up in 5 minutes. You know, worry about playing defense in 10 minutes, whatever it may be. And if you do that again every day, you got a shot to be pretty good.
Yeah. And I stress highly on expectations. So expectations that not only we put on ourselves, but that we feel from the outside world, right? So it can be as simple as your expectation is your parent drove you to this field. You're out there for 3.5 hours. You set the bench. You come home and your parents like, why your parents might say something like, why do we even drive you there? You don't play. Like that kids deal with parents like that.
Absolutely.
It's just the God's honest truth. The reason is because that kid wants to be a part of something and they want something. A kid isn't going to be part of a team that at the deep root of their core, they don't want to be a part of. You know, we're in a society now that if you really don't want it, you just can do something else. There's so many options. So every parent out there, what I would say is if your kid is just setting the bench, keep taking them. Get them this program. Get them some help to get them to the level that they will be the starter on the team, or they'll be, a good bench player or whatever it is, right?
Absolutely.
Expectations. You put expectations on, like for you, and I was similar. Nobody had expectations of me. And it's so much easier to play the game without expectations. Once you add expectations, and then all of a sudden people assume results. They need results. You start assuming, you know, other people are like, he's about to make a bunch of money, whatever it is. Everybody's expectations are different. We have to eliminate those out of our brain to be able to play at the level that we should.
Right.
And that's maximizing that ability. For me and you, we're the same. Like, we didn't have dads that played in the big leagues. We didn't have uncles, aunts, cousins who were affiliated. We didn't, like, we just were out there every day doing things that made us better, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're kind of that average Joe American guy who didn't even have a dream. I was going to, my mom talked me out of getting drafted. Like, I was going to go to the military. That's just life, right? Like, I was going to go sign up for the Navy. And my mom's like, why don't you just try to take that baseball scholarship over here to the community college? One thing led to another. And the mindset that I had, that you had, developed us as a player over time to become successful. And not a lot of guys get that, because now there's so much exposure. There's so much and that in the world. Oh, this guy's the number one draft pick. Where do you get drafted? What people think of you, and I will stress this till the end of the earth, will change in a week. You can change that in 1 week. So, like, for you to go to a smaller school helped you. Same with me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. What I was going to say, and I tell, you know, I work with, you know, a wide range of kids with different ages, but the point that I'm trying to drive home to kids, and this goes back to that exposure and, you know, the Instagram and Snapchat and all that stuff. I was like, look, guys, I know you want to be a part of a big program, you know, something that you can be proud of and, you know, tell your buddies, tell the girls that, hey, you know, from state of Virginia, UVA is about as good as it gets in state. So, do you want to be a part of UVA to be a part of UVA, or do you want to play baseball to play baseball? You know, like, are you going to go, would you rather go to UVA for, I guess, the limelight of being a part of UVA, or would you rather go to a VCU and maybe you start as a freshman and you get 3 years of experience versus a year and a half of experience at UVA because you've had to redshirt and sit the bench for 2 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I just think if you love the game, don't get so consumed with, like you said, the expectations of the world and what other people want. Do what's going to make you happy as a ball player and what's going to allow you to grow. And I think you would agree with this as much as any other true baseball guy. You can't get better sitting the bench, really. You've got to figure out a way to get in the game and get those reps. Because there's nothing like game reps. You know, you can definitely practice and try to get better that way. But you've got to get some game reps in there, wherever it may be. So, anyways, that's my take on that.
I couldn't agree more. Everybody, I went to a junior college. Wichita State offered me a scholarship. I chose to go to the junior college because I knew that I was raw. I went to a Wichita State baseball camp. They could see I had some raw talent. I'm a left-handed bat too, you know. So, left-handed bat, fairly athletic. Knows nothing about baseball. Where I came from, we played 20 games a year. Like, they were split seven inning double headers. Like, it wasn't baseball was not a factor. We're football and basketball in Kansas, you know?
Right.
So I go into my junior college knowing if I'm playing, I'm getting better. I was split in time.
Right.
The opportunity for, I could have went to Wichita State redshirted. Wouldn't have developed at the same rate, wouldn't have done a lot of things at the same way I did them. Not only did it teach me baseball lessons, it taught me life lessons. You have to understand your abilities. So your ability is what it is at the point. Even I don't care if you're the most athletic guy on the field, you can hit the baseball further than everybody. If you don't understand how to play the game, you're going to need a little more molding.
Right.
You know, it's hard being a refined. There's a reason that there's so many levels in minor league baseball. There's a reason that these professional teams think it's necessary to have so many different organizations underneath the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Football and basketball don't have those. You go overseas and play on somebody else's dime, right?
Right.
The reason is they know that this game takes time and it takes effort to develop a good player.
Absolutely.
It doesn't happen overnight. There's not a secret pill you can take. There's not a guru out there who can show you the best launch angle. There's not somebody. Steroids are out of the game. That was the one thing that happened for a while where guys could get better instantly over you know, in the course of a season. They're gone. You don't take steroids anymore. Now they're trying to replace it with technology, which is the worst thing, in my opinion, that could ever be done, because you're getting the guys focused on the wrong things.
Right. Absolutely. I'm with you. I used to say, and I tell kids this all the time. When in my rookie year in Detroit, when I finally had access to video analysis and all kinds of pitch patterns and all that stuff, I got way too analytical about how my swing looked on the video. You know, I was more concerned about how it looked versus how it felt. And as a hitter, it's all about feel. You know, that's why everyone swings slightly different, because they each have a different feel and how to take that barrel to the ball. So when you start getting so consumed about the launch angle and how your swing looks, well, you're taking away your strongest ability, and that's hand-eye coordination. Like, you know, get your barrel to the ball whichever way you do best, and you'll have more success that way, because, again, consistent hard contact is going to get you more base hits, not a perfect launch angle, you know, because if you can only get the perfect contact one out of every 10, well, you're not going to be playing very long, because coaches are going to bench your tail from lack of consistency. So anyways, I'm with you, man. Go off a feel. If you're talking about hitting, being an independent ball player, it comes from taking the reps and feeling what your body's doing, not looking at video and breaking down angles and rotational vectors and stuff. You know, you got to feel it to make the adjustment, you know, plain and simple.
No doubt. So mechanics, we're big on mechanics are important. There's no doubt. You got to have your mechanics right. The sooner you can get your mechanics out of your head, the better off you are.
100%.
Your swing is what it is. Your pitching, the way you throw a baseball, is, to a degree, is what it is. We can make minor tweaks to those, and we can focus on things that are bigger than, oh, I need to put my hands right here. My foot needs to be here. I need to stride this certain way. Like, you're thinking about the wrong stuff. You got to keep it on a macro scale to get the flow. The flow, right, like you said, the flow when you swing the baseball bat, you know when you feel good. When you're feeling good, the flow's there. You're on deck. Usually when you're on deck, you almost know if you're going to have a good at bat or not. You know, like you're on deck and your confidence is rolling. But then what we need to do is take, when you don't feel good on deck, how do we get out of that quick?
Right. Absolutely. Well, I was going to say, my thing was I tried to start getting my timing sooner in my preparation. Like, so I would be on the bottom step of the dugout steps in the hole, and I'm getting my move with the pitcher. I'm getting my load. I'm trying to sync to how he's delivering the baseball. That way I get a few more extra pitches to try to do it. Because like you said, I don't want to be thinking about mechanics. I only want to be thinking about rhythm and picking it up out of his hand. And I would take that right up on deck. And honestly, my personal routine, I might not swing the bat one time when I'm on the on-deck circle, but I'm loading in sync with the pitcher every single time he releases the ball. That's what I think on-deck is for. You know, if you're tight and you want to swing the weighted bat, whatever, just to kind of wake your body up, you know, break loose some adhesions, if you will. But, I'm a big believer in trying to get your timing in the hole, in the dugout, and then take it up to the on-deck circle. And hopefully after, you know, 8 to 10 reps, you know, you can step in there and feel like you're ready to hit that first 95 mile an hour fastball. But if you don't prepare your timing beforehand, it's going to be tough to catch up to that bad boy.
There's no doubt about that. Baseball's all timing. Scotty, we'll probably have you on another episode. I know you got other obligations you got to get to for work.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for being on the show. This is Scott Sizemore, a guy who from the bottom made it to the top. Like, literally everything this guy's about is what you should be about, what your kids should be about. If you ever have any doubt in your mind that you can make it to the big leagues, this is the kind of guy that will show you that through persistence, through effort, through trial and error, and we're trying to shorten that process, you can get to the highest level you should be able to achieve. Scott, thanks again for being on the show, buddy.
My pleasure, Andy. Take it easy, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.